I want to invite Pastor Paul to come and speak to us this morning.
I love you, Ralph. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you all again at Jubilee. We know that you're rejoicing. Amen. Jesus is faithful every day. He's moving upon us more than ever before. He's leading us, and the future's bright. I love the name of this church. I've always said that. I was considering this week when I was alone at a retreat center with the time with the Lord, and God spoke to me about this morning, about Jubilee. I was considering that we have known this church for about 23 years, maybe a little more, 24 years, that we've walked together, and I've always been impressed by the name of this church, Jubilee Faith Center. I believe that God has positioned this church in giving you truth that is very much God-like and established it in your heart so that you will fulfill the dreams that God has for you. Of course, it's much more than Jubilee. It's much more than Dunville. It's much more than Ontario. It's much more than Canada. God is doing something in the world right now that we need to be a part of and understand that we are a part of it and we are a team together believing for good things. The spirit of prayer is rising in the church like never before. Did you know that? Did you? Prayer is rising in the church. I pray that it's rising here at Jubilee and that it will rise more. We've established a lot of truths in our hearts, but God seems to be solidifying this fact that we need to know how to seek Him through the greatest force that the world has ever seen. And that's the force of prayer, recognizing that we need God in everything that we do. And so God is moving all over the earth. We see it happening in Toronto right now. I'm more convinced that God is stirring in the way of prayer than ever before. In the 25 years that we've been in the city, we have seen more prayer happening right now than ever before. We're praying regularly right now at People's Church, which is a very, it's an older traditional church of the city that's been there for years. It was Oswald J. Smith, who was that great man of God who believed for souls to be saved and believed for the work of missions around the world, that established so much of God's glory that started People's Church. It was originally downtown at Yonge and Bloor. I walk regularly past the location and pray over it because that's where it all began. But God now has taken us back to meet at their church and pray. And God is bringing spirit-filled leaders together with, you know, evangelical church leaders, and everybody is laying down their banner. Say amen, everybody. Yeah. Laying down their banner and their opinions, and we're calling out on Almighty God because we know we need God to change things. Amen. We need God to change our cities and to change our nation and change the world. I believe right now the events of the world should be speaking to every believer about how close we are to the coming of Jesus and about God's purposes being fulfilled in revival power touching the world. And I'm convinced that God's not going to just touch in one place. I feel like this move that we're about to see is going to be everywhere. And that's why every thought that you've thought in faith, everything you've kept in your heart and believe in God, will come to pass if you keep it in your heart. It's important to keep faith in your heart. And that's why God gave this church a DNA of faith, to establish you in all that God is. And I'm convinced that's why this week the Holy Spirit pointed out to me, every time I think about coming here to Jubilee, I get a new insight about faith. Now, why is that? It's because God has established something here that's eternal. And you need to rejoice in it and be glad for what God has done and He's doing and what He's going to do. Great things are ahead of us as we believe Him together. And this church is so key to the purposes and the move of God. God has put something in your heart that's beyond just what you see. Right? It's not what you see. It's what you know. Faith is counting those things that are what? That are not. As though they were. And that's not what you can see. That's what you know in your heart. And you get it established in your spirit. So this church is based on that. We need to say hurrah to that and thank God for what He has done here and what He's going to do. And the spirit of it's going on. I know God touched me with that this week. And He said, Paul, every time I take you down there and I'm showing you something new about who I am and how you understand the ways I work. And God works in faith because He's a faith being. The only way that we'll get things done for God is by faith. That's why He gave us Jesus. We sang about it this morning. But it's one thing to sing about it. It's another thing to really get it in your understanding and to know exactly what God is saying to us. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. Why don't you stand up with me, everybody? turn to one person, look them straight in the eyes and say, I'm believing for more than ever before. Say it out loud. I'm believing for more than ever before, and I'm believing you are too. We're in this together. Amen. I'm believing for more than ever before. And for you too. Bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, you may be seated, everyone. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Father, we ask you for guidance this morning as we share your word and your truth with this great company of people that have been walking together for many years, and yet today our hearts are thrilled and excited with possibility, knowing that you're leading us more than ever before for the purposes of the future. And we sense, Lord, that you have a great plan for each one of us as a church corporately and also as individuals. I ask you to come, Holy Spirit. Come and take every word that we speak and cause it to come forth from your purpose. And may we understand it with clarity. And may we be a people, O God, that rise up with great enthusiasm in our hearts and believe you for the ingathering that we're all believing for. We thank you for your presence. Come in every way. We give you praise now in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. I want to talk to you this morning about a subject that I felt God gave me this week when I was away, and I'm calling it the righteousness of faith. Now, you've probably all heard about the subject of the righteousness of faith, or you should have by now. I'm sure in this church somebody's preached about it. The Bible talks about the righteousness of faith. It's a very unusual term, is it not? The righteousness of faith. What does that mean? Why is everything God does and is applied to the word faith? Because when we think about the word righteousness, we think about God. Everything that God is and his purposes. Righteousness actually means right living. I'm sure that you've looked at that before. Righteousness means doing the right thing. Righteousness means following in the ways of God. Righteousness means to be just. Righteousness means obeying God and pleasing God in everything that you do. Now, God takes this word righteousness and applies it to faith. That's extremely important. And I believe that there's revelation that has come in this church, and God is wanting to draw you into more of the fullness of it. Because it's the power that will change things. God applies everything that he is and he knows to the subject of faith. And he put his spirit in mankind to believe that all things are possible because of that righteous nature that's in the word faith. So the Bible talks about righteousness of faith. I'd like you to put the first scripture up on the screen. And maybe we'll read it together here this morning. Let's read it aloud together. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. And the next scripture, please. Let's read it aloud. But the righteousness based on faith, imputed by God and bringing right relationship with him, says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, or that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead, as if we could be saved by our own efforts. That's the Amplified, and that's really good. Let me read that to you in the King James Version, because there's something that I want to make known to you that I think you all would remember. It says it this way, but the righteousness of God speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart. Everybody put your hand on your heart. This is important. Saying something here. Wow. We speak here a lot, but really God says what's in here is really meant to come forth here. So, but the righteousness of God speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who will descend into the abyss or hell? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? What does what say? What? As you look at the scripture. It's the righteousness of God. It's the righteousness of God that speaks. And this is what the righteousness of God says. The word is near you, in your mouth, and in your heart. The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. And that's the word of faith which we preach. Everything that we preach, according to the Scripture, should be established in that truth. The word of faith is in your mouth and in your heart. And that's why it's important that we confess properly, that we speak properly, that we don't give up, that we don't carry things in our hearts that displease the purposes of God in righteousness in faith, that we never lose sight of our faith, that we never let our faith grow cold, and that we always entertain the presence of God in understanding that everything He is in faith. For the righteousness of God is faith. That's what we need to understand. There was a Sunday school boy that was riding on a Sunday school bus. I thought about this story when I heard you guys now have a bus, don't you? And I was this little boy was riding on the Sunday school bus going to church. And while they were on the way to Sunday school, they handed them little pamphlets that said, had a real special picture for the children on front of it. And then it said, have faith in God. And he was holding his little pamphlet and enjoying it so much. And the bus window was open. The wind gust came along and blew his pamphlet out of his hand, out the window and into a large field. He started yelling and screaming at the bus driver, stop, stop, stop. I've lost my faith in God. I've lost my faith in God. So he kept saying it over and over again. I've lost my faith in God. And finally the bus driver stopped. He let him go out in the field and look for his faith in God. So he went out in the field and he spent 10 or 15 minutes. Finally he found his faith in God. And he came back into the bus and sat down. And someone else spoke up and said, man, you shouldn't have taken all our time to the bus driver. You shouldn't have taken our time and let that boy go out there and do that. And one other person spoke up and said, it would be good for all of us to realize how important it is for us to keep our faith in God. You see, our faith is not in what we see. Our faith is not in what happens. Our faith is in God. And that's the only force that will change things. And that's why God saw to it that we would understand the principles of faith and know that the righteousness of faith is eternally important. The scripture that we read this morning in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, it says, For in it, which is the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. That is, faith goes from one part or purpose of faith to the other. So when you've got something from God in faith, you need to always be believing that you're going to get something else. For the righteousness of God is going or moving from faith to faith. It's always moving. And that's so key to establishing God's presence and glory in our lives. And that's why I've always been thrilled about this church, because I feel this church has been established with the DNA of faith. And that's why it's in the name. And God wants you to understand that faith is eternal and cannot give up. And God is doing something in us, preparing us for a great move. And we're about to see that great move, but we must be a people who keep walking in what He said and enjoy it. So one of the best things you need to do in your life is establish your prayer life strong again. If you haven't been consistently before God, let me encourage you this morning to build yourself strong in prayer. Because when you're in prayer, you start to think the way God thinks. And your faith life will be established again by His glorious presence. And you'll know and understand that faith is faith to faith. It's moving and going on. Romans 10, let me read it again. But the righteousness of God speaks. It does not say, as so many want to say when they think about the gospel, that just prepare people for heaven and for salvation. One of the great weaknesses of the church is that we are not only called of God to prepare people for salvation, to be right with God to get to heaven, but we're called to prepare them to live the life. For when they live the life, they will demonstrate the great glory of Jesus. So faith is as much about living as it is about salvation. That's why the Bible says the just shall live by faith. Not just the just shall be saved by faith. For it's more than being saved, it's living the life by faith. Now, to do that, there's endurance. There's a test. There's time to it. The difficulty we have, we don't know how much time is involved in faith. It's only in the hands of God, but time is nothing to God. Because God thinks all the time about His purposes, but time isn't an issue. And so we're a people that need to learn this and walk in it and enjoy it together in God's presence. I was considering this the other day when I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about the life of Abraham, or Adam, how much he knew God. Have you ever thought how wonderful it must have been to be like Adam? When he was created in the image of God and there was no sin. There was no inferiority. There was no discouragement. There was really no trouble. There was nothing to cause him to think negatively. There was no sickness. There was nothing out of place. All there was God. So everything he did was God. All he had to do was to rise up early in the morning and think, man, today I don't have to go to school. I don't even have to work. All I have to do is meet with God. Isn't that amazing? All I have to do is meet with God. That's the way he was created, in relationship with God. So he would have exciting questions to ask about life and living and learning. He never got it from a book. There was no books. He didn't have to worry about getting it from his wife because there wasn't any wife yet. There wasn't any children to raise. All he had to do was go out early in the morning and talk with God. And everything God was, he was. He learned to understand, I'm convinced, more than any human being, the power of faith, of trusting in the Almighty. Everything he did was that. If he had a question, he would ask it. Why are the stars the way they are? Or whatever it might be. How do you do math? It would be great to sit down with God and ask Him a few things that we've struggled with in our lives. Would it not? Yeah. Everything about it. Everything was perfect for Him. Why you ever goofed up? You ever wonder? Sometimes you think when you get to heaven, you just like to walk up to Adam and smack him. Why did he goof up so bad? He had it all. And there was a perfect understanding of faith. There was never any fear, never any worry, never any concern. Everything was total trust. What an amazing way to live. That's what Adam had. But then we all know, because of sin, same sin coming and tempted him, firstly through the serpent and then through Eve. And then he fell. And sin came on the human race. But one thing I want you to realize this morning about the life of Adam, I still believe that Adam, even after sin came and he fell, he understood enough about God to know that you must walk by faith. Because he was restored to God. Actually, when he lost his first son, who was Abel, who was murdered by his brother. Remember the story? He was murdered by his brother. God then, later on, sent another son, and his name was Seth. And the line of Jesus would come through Seth. What the Bible says when it talks about Seth, that Seth began and his generation began to seek the Lord. Now, how did they learn to seek the Lord, even though sin came upon the world as we live in it now? The only way that he could learn it, Seth could learn it, is from Adam. And so Adam was restored to God. But he had to learn to be restored by faith. He had everything. I often think, when I think about this story, God could have just wiped him out because he so understood everything and he fell. But God gave a way of mercy even for Adam to come back to God. And it was the way of faith. And it traces right back to Jesus. When you understand the genealogies of Jesus in the New Testament, Jesus is traced right back through Seth and Adam. And so we understand the purpose of faith. Israel had everything that they could have. Israel's in the scene today, is it not? We're talking about it all the time these days. I think there's tremendous disasters that are going to come upon Israel. They're not going to be wiped out, but there's much hardship that will come yet. Because they really had everything as the people of God, and they've turned from the things of God. But they actually tell us right now in Israel, there's more of a call to prayer for the Christians that are there, and there's more of expectancy than ever that people are going to call on the name of the Lord. Wouldn't it be awesome if we're living in the time that the Apostle Paul spoke about when all Israel will be saved? Things are going to happen real quickly for those who believe God. Israel had it all too, but they lost it. And the only way they can be returned to God is through faith. And believing in Jesus and understanding the full measure of the righteousness of God, which is in faith. And walking in it all the days of their lives. I was just away for a few days up in Northern Ontario. And I was driving around in a car with one of the friends that were up there. And we had to ask some directions. So we stopped into this place to ask some directions. And when we stopped into this place, the man that I was with, his name was Bruce. He started talking with the man that was in the house and just finding out a few things we need to understand. And then he looked at him, he said, "Do I know you?" And this guy looked at Bruce and he says, "Man, I'm your cousin." And I'll never forget the look that came over Bruce's face. He said, I don't know you. When we got in the car, Bruce and I sat there in the car together. I said, "Bruce, have you ever wondered how many relatives you have up here that you don't know?" I said, "Have you ever wondered how many relatives have been touched by your church?" And that everyone knows that this church is here. They've walked away from God in numbers. But faith in God is going to bring them back. Yeah. And Ralph, he sat in that car beside me and the tears started to come down his face. Very rugged man. And I began to understand, as he was understanding, that God is going to do something again for those of us that believe. The greatest secret to spiritual success is to keep yourself believing. And I'm convinced that real faith people will have more struggles than others. People that really, really see it and been taught of the Lord, they will have more difficulties because they are tested to stay with it. And I looked at Bruce and I encouraged him that day. I said, "Bruce, you know, I think very quickly we're going to see a day, and it's not far away, when the ingathering is going to need all of our churches so that we can see them filled up with relatives and people that are going to come to the kingdom of God."
Thank you, Lord. Yeah.
Because God can move in a minute.
Yep.
When the church is in the place that it should be.
Yes.
But the church has been weak in faith. Now let's just consider it. I can say it here. I don't say it like that in some other places, like I say it here at Jubilee Faith Center. But I say it here quite clearly. The church has been weak in faith. And God wants to refresh your spirit in what you know. Because the ingathering is coming.
Thank you, Lord. Yes.
Now you can sit here and say, "Well, I've heard Pastor Paul come 20 times and say that." When is it going to come? None of your business. Your business is to have faith. Turn to somebody and say, "That's none of your business. The timing of things aren't your business. Your business is to live in the righteousness of faith, which is the key for the purpose of God." Turn with me in your Bibles to Galatians, the book of Galatians, chapter 1. Ever find yourself saying you have certain favorite scriptures of the Bible? And I always find out another one that I think is very favorite. But I think of one of my very, very, very best, most favorite scriptures of the Bible is Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 is tremendous revelation about faith and speaks directly to the local church so we can understand a few things about this faith that God has for us in His Word. Would you turn with me to Galatians chapter 3, and we'll just look at a few things there from this amazing scripture. The first few words there says, "O foolish Galatians." Now, I don't want to this morning put "O foolish Jubilee," or I wouldn't want to put "O foolish Toronto City Church," where I'm from. But it's good for us to notice that he wrote this way because he wanted to catch everybody's attention and wanted us to understand. He was revealing something to the church of Galatia that was very, very important for them to see. And so he begins this by talking this way. Another word you could have used is senseless. Some translations use that. So let's say that, "Oh, senseless Galatians, who has bewitched you or tricked you or deceived you or put you in a spell that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified?" Verse 2. "This only I want to learn from you." Now, I want you to realize that he goes now to three questions that he asks the church. Three questions. Not only were these questions asked to the church of Galatia, but they were asked of all of us. Because God put it in His Word so that we would see it and know it. Now, here's three important questions that He says to them as a group in this church, or the churches of that particular region. This only I want to learn from you. Now, here's the first question. "Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" Now let me ask you this morning in Jubilee, did you receive the Spirit by the works that you can do or what you think about yourself, or did you receive it by the hearing of faith? The hearing of faith. The hearing of faith is extremely important. And the apostle brings that to us in the Word and asks the question of this church. The reason he was asking the question of this church is that this particular church was known to be a charismatic church. If you study the history of the churches in this region, they were very charismatic. They were worshiping churches. They were filled with faith. They were dancing churches. They were shouting churches. They were churches filled with the Holy Spirit, and they had miracle upon miracle. God was demonstrating Himself to them regularly. That's how this church was built. It was a powerful church. But they had lost their fervor. They had lost what they needed. The stresses of life, the circumstances, the things that took place, what had happened, had caused them to grow cold. And they had lost the excitement that was inside of their heart. So the apostle comes now and he asks this question. Did you receive the Spirit by trying to work out things yourself, or did you receive it by the hearing of faith? Well, everybody has to answer, we heard it by faith. And that's what he wants you to hear this morning again. Because every church, after a time of knowing God, is tempted to go back into ritual, formal, traditional thinking of the flesh. And the only thing that keeps us from the thinking of the flesh is pure faith. And so God asks this question of us. Did we receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by faith? Now look at number 2 in verse 3. This is the second question. It doesn't hurt in your Bible to mark those questions. Number 2. Are you so senseless or foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by what you can do or the flesh? Are you so senseless? The apostle says to this church, that what you've begun in the Spirit, you now think you can do it by yourself. Now, this is the temptation of every church. I go all over the land. Many places I'm going in southern Ontario now, and I see where God has been, and now all of a sudden there's a temptation to do it by what we feel we can do. We need to do some things, but we must understand all the time that it's established in faith. And then he takes us to the third question in verse 4. Question number 3. Have you suffered so many things in vain? Or have you suffered so many things for no reason at all? Why have you gone through the things you've gone through? Now look at how the apostle writes this here in verse 3. He says, or verse 4. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? You know, if indeed it was in vain, obviously saying it wasn't. So why have we suffered the things that we've suffered? I'm not talking about sickness. I'm talking about all the things that want to discourage us and defeat us in our walk with God. All the things that want to come against us. Why do we go through all these things? It can't be that God wants to upset us or make us worse. He is constantly allowing us to go through things to make us better. And so the question comes, have all these things happened for nothing? And those are the three questions that the apostle asks this church before he begins to reveal to them in a greater way an understanding of what faith is. And so God is asking us these questions today, wanting us to answer them ourselves. Did you receive the Spirit by keeping laws or by the hearing of faith? Have you begun in the Spirit? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by what you can do? And number 3, have you suffered so many things in vain or for nothing? And we need to answer those things by the grace of God. Now look in verse 5, what he says here. He gives us that great word of the Bible, which I think we've all learned to understand and accept. Therefore, you know, we've always said, when therefore is there, what is it therefore? So here it is. Therefore, he asks another question. He who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the work of the law or by what you can do or by the hearing of faith? Showing us again that God Almighty wants to hear faith. He wants to hear somebody that believes that He's God and that He can do it again by His grace. And He wants Jubilee to rise up and speak faith to the ears of God. God is wanting faith. You say to me, Pastor Paul, why are you carrying that the way you are? I'm carrying it because God showed me some things about faith years ago. But after 40 years of ministry, I am more of a test about my faith than I was 40 years ago or any time through there. The struggle all the time for what God spoke to me about in our city. The struggle that I go through in my mind all the time is to keep myself believing what God said to me. Yeah. And in my prayers before God, when I stand before God, God keeps bringing me back. And last week when I was away alone in the presence of God, God said to me again, I'm taking you down to Jubilee, and when you leave Jubilee again, you're going to sense a new surge of faith in your own spirit. Because all these things don't happen for nothing. It's to make me stronger. And God is making this church strong to establish His purpose. So God brings, He says, therefore, he who supplies the Spirit, number one, to you, and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Look at verse 6. Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, which is the righteousness of faith. Abraham believed God, and he had what he believed for. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith, it says in verse 7, are the sons of Abraham. Only those who are of faith are the sons of Abraham. Verse 8, and the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying to you, in you all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. The nations shall be blessed in you. Now, I think this is an absolutely amazing scripture that we should underline over and over and over again in our Bibles, where God says that He actually spoke the gospel to Abraham. So the gospel was spoken to Abraham way, way back when God said that through your seed, the nations will be blessed. And the ingathering will come through your seed. God was speaking about the gospel. There it is, right in the Bible. He was talking ahead of time about the gospel which would take place. Verse 9, So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Verse 10, For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Verse 11, but that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just what? Shall live by faith. And then it says in verse 12, yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Verse 13, everybody read it aloud with me if you have it there. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. Verse 14, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Is faith important or what? Faith is the key to God's purpose and plan being revealed in our lives. Hallelujah. Faith is the answer. Verse 15, brethren, I speak in the manner of men, though it is only a man's covenant. Now, he was talking about the covenant that was given with Abraham. He says here in verse 15, brethren, I speak in the manner of men, though it is only a man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed, no one annuls or adds to it. Verse 16, now to Abraham and to his seed were the promises made. He does not say and to seeds as of many, but as of one. And to your seed, who is Christ. Oh, that's so important in understanding the fullness of faith and the power of the seed. We are in Christ. And because of that, we have what we ask in Jesus' name. Verse 17, and this I say, that the law which was 430 years later cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ. That is, he was saying that the law which was written 400 years before, can't annul what God had said to Abraham by faith. And there's no way that that can change things that God has for us. Verse 18, for the inheritance is of the law. For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer a promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Hallelujah. What purpose then does the law serve? And we all know it was added because of transgression to bring us to God. Now we look down into verse 21. Is the law then against the promise of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. But the Scripture has confirmed all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Who believe. But therefore faith came. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith came, we are no longer under a tutor. Verse 26, read it. For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Therefore, is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And now the greatest verse of the Bible. Read it with me, verse 29. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That is the righteousness of faith. few weeks ago, my cousin, who I barely knew, called me in Toronto and said they live in Sudbury, and said that their six-year-old daughter had come down with a serious form of leukemia that was one of the worst forms of leukemia, and they had to rush her right to Sick Kids in Toronto and get the best kind of care for her. It was amazing all the things that started to happen. My daughter is now working in social work, and she's working at Sick Kids Hospital. And she went to work right away and made all the arrangements so that this family, which is actually a cousin of ours, could go to Ronald McDonald House. And it was amazing. They have just, you know, a short time ago finished Ronald McDonald House in downtown Toronto, where they take families like this. So there were seven in the family. So now you have mom, dad, six other children along with this sick child that are all staying at Ronald McDonald House. And then my daughter was able to make the arrangements so that they could bring all the things that they need. They supplied them with food, clothing for the whole family. I mean, it was absolutely amazing. Some of the things that people will do around a hospital. They actually supplied them each with tickets, airplane tickets, and paid for them all to go to Disney World after the treatment was finished. Isn't that something? Most people don't even know this stuff goes on. See, this is a lot of unsaved people who will do things like that, but they don't recognize working with the church because they don't really believe we care about society. They think all we're concerned about is ourselves. But a lot of this stuff is going on. So this was all set up. Anyway, when we went in, of course, this is what really spoke to me, is that these cousins, really the second cousins then, the seven children, I didn't know at all. It's all these people I don't know. Even the story I told you the other day about this friend up in Northern Ontario about cousins and relatives that he didn't know. We all have them like that. And so I started to think about the influence of this, if God would bring a miracle. And all the people that I don't even know, but an ingathering of household salvation that I've been believing for years. Because I'm an heir. And heirs don't have to work for it, they believe for it. We stand in it. And I started to think how big this thing was. I have relatives all across Northern Ontario that I don't even know. They spread all the way from Thunder Bay through North Bay, all the way through Ottawa. The whole Ottawa Valley is filled with our family. But I don't know them. But they have all been influenced by the gospel. And now here was this cousin who had come down to Toronto. And when we went into the room, the first thing they asked for was for prayer for healing. So we just, Pastor Elaine and myself, just stood together. We laid our hands on this little six-year-old girl in sick kids' hospital. And we prayed in the name of Jesus. And we spoke to the curse of cancer in her blood to leave in the name of Jesus. And there was such a sense of faith. It was only a short time after I was over in Buffalo where I was visiting with our pastor in Buffalo at the Tabernacle. And I met with a young a lady who I think I spoke about here before. Some of you may have heard this when I've spoken around. That she was hit by a car and paralyzed from the waist down for 23 years. And instantly in a service God touched her and healed her. And when I was over in Buffalo, she was walking back and forth across the platform, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and singing the praises of God like you've never heard. And when it was all over, Pastor Elaine and myself went to her and we said, you know, we have just prayed for a little girl in Sick Kids in Toronto, and we would like you to join your faith with us and believe with us too that what we've prayed will be completed. And she took this to heart. We were sitting right in a restaurant. And I'm telling you, she didn't care who heard or what, because she had been so delivered by miracles in her own life. That's how what it was all about, that Jesus had healed her. She prayed for Carissa, and we stood in faith. I'm here to tell you this morning, it was only about 4 weeks ago, that the entire family, seven kids, mom and dad, came into our church. and sat in the church service. And when it was over, we all went to talk to them to see how things were going. And this little girl that was so sick when we had gone in to see her, firstly, was now just running all over the place like there wasn't a thing wrong in the world. And the dad looked at us and he said, they can't find a trace of cancer. They can't find a trace of cancer. Now, here was his, now their biggest test was this, because the doctors were saying, but still, we want you to finish another 6 months of treatment. And they had to come to the place to know in their faith what they were going to do in those circumstances, and sometimes we need people to understand how to do that. But nevertheless, God touched her. Just absolutely an amazing thing of God's power. But the thing that really spoke to me the other day when I was up there in Northern Ontario with this friend was how many others are going to be affected by this.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, church, God can bring an in-gathering in a minute. If we keep believing what we know we must believe.
Yes.
And the questions that were laid out by the apostle to the church in Galatia are the same questions that he's asking us. Are all these things that have happened in vain? Is God going backward? Is God not going to finish what he said he would do? The great test of the spiritual walk is to stay in faith. Every work of the evil one is to take it out of our spirit. We just met with a group of pastors a while ago there in the city too, and they were telling us that one speaker had come from Egypt, and they wanted us to go and meet with him at a different time. So we had all gone to meet with this pastor who came from Egypt. And he stood before us with tears in his eyes and began to explain to us what is taking place in Egypt right now. All we hear about Egypt is that everything's falling apart. And that there's all the protests and everything, and there's rising up of the Muslim Brotherhood and everything that speaks wrongly of God's purposes, that Egypt right now is not going to support Israel, and all kinds of stuff is going on. But this pastor who came from Cairo was telling us that the greatest revival that the city of Cairo has ever seen is happening right now.
Hallelujah.
And that the entire church, think about this for a moment, the entire church, including Coptic Christians, Catholics, and the charismatic churches and Pentecostal churches and evangelical churches are now all coming together for prayer. Because there's such a desperate need. They know the only answer is God.
Right.
Nobody's talking about what their church believes. What they're talking about is Jesus.
Right.
And he had pictures to show us of a Coptic priest standing with his hands up like this, worshiping our mighty Jesus. I never thought I'd see these kind of days. And they said that there's such a call to draw nigh to God that God is stirring in a way like never before. And he said, anytime a church gives a call for prayer, where there used to be 20, 30 people that came out for prayer, he said, now there's up to 700 or 800 people that gather in a moment. Everybody's using, of course, technology to tell people when a prayer time takes place, but now they're all being drawn to God. And this pastor stood and told us that families are coming to God. He said that people are knocking on the church door to be saved. And they're coming from every direction to find the Lord. And he told us that one of the biggest groups of people that are coming to the Lord in Cairo, Egypt right now are homosexuals. That come knocking on the door and say, what must I do to be saved? You see, somebody believed God and kept believing God. And God is about to do something. I really feel what God wants to do is not anymore just to move in a church here or a church there and a location here or a location there. What he wants to do is bring a unified move to his church. And we're about to see something great. And I want to encourage you in it to rise up in the things of God and know what God has for you. Now I'm talking about the test of faith. We have this prayer time that's going on right now in the city of Toronto with pastors. The last meeting that I went to, We have just set up calling it the Toronto Faith Coalition. We had to set this Toronto Faith Coalition up because the government, or the municipal government, the council in Toronto, is right now trying to pass a bylaw that churches cannot build at all in the city. So there's no land for churches. None. That's the bylaw they want to pass. And the reasoning is that Toronto proper is actually tied in by the suburbs. The suburbs have land that they can reach out and keep growing into the farm fields forever. But Toronto itself is closed in, they're saying, and has no more land. So therefore, it's their premise that the church is taking away employment land. Now, you say that to unsaved people, and they believe that. And so that's the struggle that we've been up against. And so we've had to form this Toronto Faith Coalition. And one of my friends that we've been going to and sharing with for some time has become the leader of it, and God has touched him and opened the door right now for him to meet with denominational leaders and different people that are around from everywhere. And they're drawing together for prayer like never before, but they're forming a strong council together. And what they've had to do, because they know what's happened in the past, how to overcome this, on this particular faith group, Toronto Faith Coalition that they formed, please hear me and understand when I say this. They have asked a Muslim, a Hindu, and a Sikh to sit on the council. And you know what I'm going to say. Like it all seems so foreign to us. How do you get a Muslim and a Sikh and a Hindu to sit on a faith group with the church? And so I was in this prayer meeting the other day, and this was mentioned, and we were asked to pray what was taking place. One of the pastors stood up to his feet and he said, "Excuse me." He was just broken. He said, "I want to pray about this, but I find this so hard to understand." He said, I don't know how I can ever meet with a Muslim and a Hindu and a Sikh, and we can stand together. And he said, in all honesty, he said, "I'm just being honest. I need you to pray for me that I can have faith for what God wants to do." And of course, the message that we heard, which was spoken by others that were in the room, that even in these kind of situations, that we must let our light shine among those that don't know the Lord. And we must stand for what we believe in Jesus. And that God is now giving us opportunity to be a witness like we've never been before. The thing is, we can't back away from what we believe but who Jesus is and about the power of the blood and everything else. But somehow, some of these people need to meet those that really believe and stand in it. And so we began to pray for this man to have faith. Because he couldn't see how he could have faith with all the circumstances that were happening around us. And we prayed that God would restore his faith to believe that all things are possible, for the church to succeed and to take its place, and that Jesus would be seen far above the religions of the world. And I believe that's what's happening right now anyway, that God is going to cause the thing to be so moved upon as the nations even come to Canada and other nations of the world, that Jesus is going to come right through the middle of it and perform miracles and bring about his glory. Now, I say that to you just to simply say this. There's all kinds of things that can come our way that we don't quite understand that can take faith out of your spirit. But God is trying to say to us, the most important thing is to keep your faith strong by prayer and the Word. And when we do, God will give us the miracles that we need to see His glory come. Yeah. The Muslims that are coming to the Lord in the city of Toronto right now, they say that 80 to 90% of them that come to the Lord come because God, Jesus is revealing Himself to them in person. Now think about this for a moment. Jesus is revealing himself for who he is. These are the miracle things that God wants to do, and it's absolutely amazing as we trust the Lord. What I'm saying to you this morning, all things are possible to those who believe. But the greatest test is staying in faith and walking in it all the days of our lives. Listen to me, church, this morning. It's only a matter of time and God will do what He said. All it is a matter of time. Can we stand in what we believe? I want you to stand with me this morning, and we're going to pray. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Could I get you... Why don't you just gather into the front? Could I get you all to come to the front? Could I get maybe someone to come and just play briefly? And I'll go up here. Come and gather on the front. I just want to pray with you all this morning. We're going to believe for God to really restore our spirit strong in what we believe. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Father, we're aware this morning that so many things are happening that we can hardly keep up with what is taking place around us. And things have transpired, Lord. We have sensed things that have happened through the years and all kinds of tests and circumstances. Things we don't understand. But we sense, Lord Jesus, that You're doing something beyond anything we can imagine in Your church to strengthen us in the full measure of who we are. And so, Father, we receive these questions that the apostle asked to the church in Galatia into our spirit. And we say, Lord, these things that have come couldn't have happened in vain. Everything has its purpose in Your plan. And You're doing something, O God, to move us into something together. For the church to prosper and be a blessing in Your world. And Father, we're a part of the greater church. I thank You for the Spirit of truth that has filled Jubilee Faith Center. I thank You for the understanding that You've given us. And that we have known that there is such a thing as the righteousness of faith. That God, You live and dwell in this realm. And Father, so we should when we learn to walk with You and please You. We ask in Jesus' name that there will be a release of Your glory over this house and a presence, O God, that's restored into our spirit more than ever before to believe what You've spoken and see what You are about and what You're doing as You cause Your church to rise up here. I ask in Jesus' name for more miracles and more life of the Spirit to fill this place than ever before. Just lift your hands up, everybody. Now, Father, we ask You together for miracles from Your hand, for healing miracles in Jesus' name. We've heard about sickness and disease, about terminal disease that has come even among this house. And in the name of Jesus, we stand against that. In the name of Christ, we declare that it is broken in the name of Jesus, that the sickness falls off in the name of Jesus, and health prospers by the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank You for Your glory, O God, and Your presence that's in us to give us ideas and understanding and ways that we can fulfill Your plan. So, Father, we thank You for this in the name of Jesus. And now, Father, strengthen us in the joy of the Lord. May there be more excitement in us than ever before. May there be a greater sense of Your coming, O God, to speak and to guide as this church goes forward to be all that You want it to be. We ask for blessings to pour forth on Pastor Ralph and Christine and the entire family. We believe, Lord, that You're leading here for great purpose, and we believe that many are coming to know You. As we've talked, Lord, about household salvation and those that we don't know, we ask You, O God, that You will bring the ingathering that You've intended and Your purpose to be done. As people are gathered into Your house, we thank You for Your presence, and we give You praise now in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, as we go this morning, turn to two or three people again and say, I'm believing more than ever before for what Jesus has put in my heart and what He told me is about to take place as we believe Him together. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.